What happens now?
What happens now?
How will I cope?
How will I cope? Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer to people you know. You just want to talk to someone who knows how you feel. That's why I joined the Macmillan Online community. We know what it's like because we're living with cancer too. And whatever's on your mind, we're here to help. To join us, search Macmillan Online community.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one, the only, it's the chief pirate of them all, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, how are you?
Well, hello, Ben. What's going on with you, babe?
Not much. Just, you know, just enjoying last night's Salt Lake City episode, another episode of pure madness in Bermuda. The Bermuda Triangle has descended upon these ladies. This is the first time the Bermuda Triangle has actually been scared for its own existence. Normally the Bermuda Triangle is a thing that terrifies people, but this time the Bermuda Triangle is like, whoa, what is happening? I have to get
people
out of here.
People are like, oh, breaking news, the Bermuda Triangle has disappeared itself for the first time in history.
Truly,
literally what swallowed a wild itself. Episode. This show's so crazy. I love it. And also, before we start, I just want to remember a couple of things. One is, we'll say this again in the Southern Hospitality recap later on this week, which there will be, because guess who came through? Bravo, giving us those screeners. Bravo, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bravo.
I'm sorry to have to repeat this twice, but I want to make sure she hears it. Brooke at Bravo, I love you. Okay, Ben and I both love you. Brooke. We owe you our children. We owe you our lives. Thank you so much. Like, what you did for us really means, Jordan, thank you too. I mean, you guys, really what you do for us, you know, we're bitchy about stuff and complain about stuff, but we're also extremely thankful when we get our way because we're children like that.
Yeah.
And we just want to say thank you guys. You're really kind and we really appreciate it. Thank you. You'll hear this
we're
again later.
Boys.
The other thank you is thank you to Bread and Butter Wines, which we talked about a little bit on this recap because Heather was drinking it in a bar and I was like, who doesn't want to drink a wine called Bread and Butter? Like I basically drink bread and butter now. I mean, it goes down whole and not as a liquid and then, you know, hurts my stomach. But still, guess who sent us wine? Bread and Butter Wines.
Bread and butter. I mean, is that amazing or what? You know, the universe provides. So thanks to Bread and Butter. Thanks to Bravo. And thanks to Bermuda for being a great island. You guys are really killing it over there. And also thanks to everyone who showed up to Crappy Hour. We had a really fun one to close out the year. If you missed it, don't worry. It's on our feed, actually. You can listen to the episode on our podcast, which is a great way to remind you that if you're merely listening to us but are not subscribed, you should subscribe. Because that will make your life easier. We don't have to tell you where all the episodes are. They're just right there in your feed. So there's that. And then, of course, Patreon, patreon.com/watchforcrappens. Crappens on demand level. We are here doing video. You can watch us do this recap, not just listen. We have weekly bonuses. This week's bonus episode is going to be very special. And I promise to be super... Actually, it's not... It'll be Ronnie's turn to produce this one. So I will not make the same mistake I made last time where we did a trailer and I did not press on with the camera. But we are going to be doing a trailer trash of the Vanderpump Rules trailer that dropped earlier this week. We're going to go through... shot by shot, making fun of it all, trying to figure out what's going on. We're going to get into it. And when you're watched with Crappens on Demand, you can watch the trailer with us. You can see us watching the trailer and you can see the trailer. It's really fun. So that's just my big sales pitch to come join us on Patreon.
Yeah, do it, everybody. Okay, so here we go. Beginning of crazy time. Our sprint to Christmas. We've got this going on, the Vanderpump Rules.
Oh my goodness.
We've got a girls trip coming up. We're going to be recapping three episodes of that in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be talking to Bravo We're Black, which we're super excited about. We're going to be doing Southern Hospitality, Southern Charm, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Miami, and something else that I've forgotten there. It's a lot. So stay with us because we're sprinting to the end, darling.
Sprinting to the end. Yeah, Christmas week, by the way, it's going to be a very fun week. We have a 4-part recap with Reality Gaze of Ladies of the 80s, A Diva's Christmas, which was on Lifetime. So that's like a four episode thing that's going to be Christmas week. Plus, we're going to have our recaps of Girls Trip. If you're going to be wondering, like, wait, where are those recaps? We are saving them up and we'll be putting some out on Christmas week. There's like a million shows, like Ronnie just said, and we want to go on vacation. So we're just trying to like... We're playing Frogger right now with these TV shows, and we're just trying to get through the street, you know, without getting run over. We're just bear with us and just.
Okay, so here we go. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, season 4, episode 14, Bermuda Birthday Blues.
Yeah.
What a fucking show this is. What a gift. What a gift.
Wow. What a wild, wild gift. So everyone's waking up. We're seeing all the women's beautiful views outside their windows, except for Meredith's. Meredith's is just like some leaves, which, by the way, still pretty in my mind. It's not like she was looking at a brick wall. It's not like she was like the Potomac cast staring at a construction site outside the Van Zandt Hotel.
I know. It's like Heather's view, Monica's view, glorious. Angie's view, glorious. Whitney's view, Lisa's view of Diet Coke Hills and Sprinter driver's view of gorgeous ocean, the caterer's view, Jack's view in Columbia, rolling hills of luxury. And then it's just Meredith's view. It's like Brooks on her iPhone, you know, rolling his face.
Ew, you're in a small room. Gross, mother. So Whitney is like, Monica, where's the birthday girl? I hear it's your birthday. So she goes into Monica's room and they hug and stuff. She gives like a gift. She's like, this is like funny and cute all at the same time. So it's a shirt that says Salty AF, which is funny and cute all at the same time.
And Monica's like, oh my God, should I wear it to breakfast? And Whitney says, well, I thought it might be good over a swimsuit or something.
Okay, Whitney, we know how t-shirts work, but thank you. Thank you for this airport gift shop gift that you picked up. Thanks for explaining t-shirts. So then Heather is trying to blow up a balloon and she doesn't understand the balloon shape. I think it's an apostrophe.
I think it's like a... I assume it's like a heart or it's something that I feel like one aspect of it has been inverted. So it's creating an apostrophe or a comma shape. And Heather is very concerned about it. And you can see in her eyes, looking at the strange shape of this balloon, how do I turn this into a story about the horrifying things I went through at the Mormon church? Like, when I was a Mormon, I wasn't able to complain about strange balloon shapes. She doesn't.
Looking at this balloon, it being so reflective, I see myself and how far I have come. And I remember back in the beginning of my Mormon journey, how we weren't even allowed to look in mirrors. It was considered a sin. It's like, okay, wrap it up. It's a fucking balloon. Okay? Mormon Gina monologues. Come on.
So Angie comes out, and Angie and Heather are sort of like matching because they both have animal prints on their outfits and everything. And Angie's like, glorious day out here, look at this. And Heather, they're gonna make Monica a queen for the day because it's her birthday. And there's like a little tiara, and Angie's wearing the tiara. And Angie's
Monica
like,
comes
hey,
out.
So,
oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, Monica's not out yet because everyone's like still slowly filtering in. So Angie's like, did you have fun last night? And they're like, no, it's the Meredith that comes out. She's like, so what's going on out here at the table?
Wow, like, what an incredible view out here. It's like the whole beach has a bathtub. Lucky beach. So let me get this straight. You have more respect for the beach than you do for your friend.
Wow, I actually had no idea there was an ocean out here, because how would I? I'm basically facing a brick wall made of leaves out my window. Thank you very much.
So they're talking about how Whitney came in really strong, but she, you know, it's understandable.
Because she has feelings about things. I mean, listen, I was going to say she has thoughts, but who are we kidding? That's a stretch. All right.
So Heather's like, well, she really came for the jugular with me. She told me to shut the fuck up. I mean, there's worse things.
Right. I love what they mean. Selective outrage is the phrase I like to refer to. And Meredith is like, well, I don't think that anyone should speak that way, period. And it does a flashback with, don't fuck with me. Tell her to fuck off. Fuck off right now.
I don't believe in speaking that way. That is my own personal view. Other people might have different thoughts about that, but that's mine.
And Heather's like, well, okay, let's just keep debating the ups and downs of Whitney being petty.
Hi.
Petty. Did you hear your name? She's like,
I don't know, but I do think the t-shirts maybe should be worn over bathing suits.
Well, we were talking about you and about last night. Like, why'd you come at me last night? All I was trying to do was remind Lisa about how condescending your approach is to their friendship. And Whitney's like,
I'm sorry I said that to you. I don't want to talk to you that way. I'm sorry for speaking to you that way.
And so then Heather starts doing that thing where she starts fixing Whitney's collar. It's like that weird, like, this is a gesture to show I'm okay with you. I'm going to fix some element of your shirt. She goes, okay, well, don't ever do it again until
it's It's their big sister energy, you know? Like, I take care of you. Don't you ever forget it. I'm fixing your collar. Mm-hmm. I give you cigarettes in the cell, and I can also shank your ass anytime I want. So she fixes her collar, and then that fight is fixed. So then we get my favorite sound effect. Like, just my favorite completion horn. Just like, okay, that fight's done. So then Whitney, they give like cold hugs, and then we move on. And Whitney tells us,
I'm genuinely sorry I lost control, and I hope that Heather's over it because I don't want to feel like I wasted an apology about it.
So then they start talking about how the balloon's like a ball sack, because Heather's in that mode where she's like, Shecky Green, you know, she's like, this is me in a positive attitude. I'm going to make a joke about everything this morning.
Yeah, she really is. Like, there are two balloons that are next to each other, and she starts saying it looks like a ball sack. And then she starts talking about how I've been doing breakfast parties 3 times a year for the past 25 years of my life. I know a thing about breakfast parties, and breakfast parties involve balloons. And one thing you know is if you put two balloons together, they look like a ball sack. And I sure as hell prefer a ball sack than a balloon right now. You know what I'm saying? Anyone, tips in the jar. Tips in the jar, everyone.
It's just really funny that this is her, like, Elaine Boozler moment. But then in about 10 minutes, she's going to start crying and freaking out that people are talking about sex. So just wait for it. Just wait for it, everybody. So Lisa comes in and she's like, happy birthday. Wait a minute. She's not even here. Guys, we did such a good job decorating. I love the decorations. Did you bring a freaking helium take, Heather? This is hilarious.
No, it's a manual pump, but you'll know how to use it. It'll come natural to you. Yeah, this is how I get my Jaws tickets. I can laugh about that now.
It's hilarious now.
So now Monica finally enters, and she enters from the wrong way. They all are coming in through the door, and she comes in from a staircase. Which, by the way, if you're doing a surprise party, you got to cover your bases, okay? So she comes in, and Meredith's like, well, we're all decorating. And Heather's like, happy birthday, Monica. You are now entering officially middle age. And Monica's face is like, thanks. Didn't have to say that part, Heather. Thank you very much.
So Monica cries. She's very touched. And she's like, guys, I don't want to make it sappy, but honestly, it's insane. And like, I've never had a birthday like this in my life because I'm poor. So thank you, guys. Thank you. So they all hug her. Yeah. And Monica says that, you know, she's had a plethora of bad days, you guys. And her relationship with her mom is in a very fragile, rocky state. And it's very hard to not feel overwhelmed. But this is the nicest thing anybody has ever done for her in a very long time.
Yeah. And then they all go inside to have a traditional Bermuda breakfast. And I'm like, ooh, what's this going to be? They're like, okay, we've got vegetable quiche and breakfast potatoes. That's like, okay. Love that insight. So then so Monica's telling them that today they're going to go jet skiing. And then she's going to meet up with her family who she hasn't seen in 30 years. And she's like really nervous. And the whole family is living in the same house. And they all live together. And Heather's like, well, what are you going to talk to them about? She's like, well, girl, I'm going to tell them a lot about their cousin Linda, girl. And then She says that after all that stuff that happened, that whole conversation that happened a few episodes ago, Linda didn't even show up to therapy.
Linda didn't show up. And so we see a clip of 2 weeks earlier. And the therapist is like, your mom was supposed to be here. What happened? I think she's talking to something because I am missing a tree from out front. Just kind of odd. And Monica's like, well, the last couple of days, she really lost her shit on me, girl. And I like freaked out. And I was like, what's wrong with me? Like, you can't even come to therapy? Like, this is your idea. So then... She tells us that her, well, she tells all the girls, that, including us, ding, that
we're the girls.
Her mom has been trying to come on the trip because she's been contacting her family and saying, oh, hey, Monica's going to come visit you and I want to surprise her and come on the trip too. And she's like, I don't like that because she's just trying to come on a Bermuda trip. Like, if she can't show up to therapy, she shouldn't just come because it's in Bermuda. Like, that's obviously her just trying to get a free trip from production, right?
Yeah, this is not, I'm sure Linda's pitching it like, oh no, it's going to be this great mother-daughter bonding thing, et cetera, et cetera. But Linda's just trying to come on the cast trip, which is, I mean, that's so classic Linda. I don't think we, have we ever seen a mom shamelessly try to attach herself to a cast trip on The Real Housewives? I can't think of any.
It's pretty good. I mean, you got to hand it to Linda. Yeah. It didn't work, but she tried it. You know, Linda tried it. So what's her name? Yeah. LD Millionaire. Twitter. Is that her name? LD Millionaire?
I don't know her Twitter name.
Yeah, LD Millionaire. Here to aspire. Okay, go ahead, Ben. Keep reading on. I'm going to see if I can find her.
So, Monica's talking about how they're going to go jet ski and they're going to go to the beach. And then afterwards, they're going to get into Bermudian pirate wench costumes, which then Lisa winces at. And so she goes, well, you know, I don't like getting dressed up. My contributions our hoop earrings. Just like, thank you to your nod to piracy with your hoop earrings. And then Heather's like, well, that's the only thing she's going to wear. Full naked giant hoop earrings next to two balloons that look like a ball sack. Am I right, everyone? Oh, wow. Wendy's having so much of an effect on you. I'm really proud of you. So now after breakfast, Monica invites Lisa up to her balcony. And so Lisa goes and joins her. And she's like, oh my gosh, jet skiing. Are you ready? Now, I don't want to wear a costume that looks like a jet ski. So my contribution are bracelets. Okay. Ha. Did you find Linda's Twitter, by the way?
Yeah, I'm just liking listening to you.
I was like, I'm just going to go keep going until you interrupt me.
Well, the reason I was looking for it is because I wanted to see if she said anything about last night, because I have questions about how this all unfolded. She didn't, you know, she just does a lot of like, j'adore success. And she'll be like, oh, here's one from 11 hours ago. Monica, you called me at 6:05 p.m. You know, I work until 7 p.m. You're making it sound like I avoided you, which I didn't. Dun, dun, dun. Because Monica said, Linda, I called you tonight. No answer. But I see you're available on here on an app where the world can continue to see this dysfunction. At that time, I did believe that you had something to do with it, which I told you on the phone a couple of days ago. You then talked to me. Oh, so she didn't have anything to do with it. You see, I figured. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read this from the beginning, shall I? So Monica posted, I guess, on an Instagram because it's pink. It says, I'm just going to say this. Production spoke with my family in Bermuda, communicated with them, met with them in Bermuda, went to their homes and visited with them, signed stuff to film for my birthday and everything. So people claiming I don't have family there or it was a lie can continue to believe what they wish. It will not
change the
truth.
Oh, that was going to be my conspiracy theory. That's going to be my conspiracy theory that Linda made it all up and was catfishing her own daughter. Okay.
Yes. So then Monica writes, who posted that? I'm just going to say this. Production spoke with my family, communicated. Okay. So then she has one that says, Linda, I called you tonight. No answer, but I see you're available on this app. At the time, I did believe that you had something to do with it, which I told you on the phone a couple of days ago. You then talked to me and showed me texts and we cleared it up. And now I know. So Linda didn't, you know what? Here's the thing. Like, Linda's an asshole, but I still, every time something happens, I'm like, wait a minute. Is Monica telling me the truth? Because one thing you can't forget is Monica's also an asshole. She's a very funny asshole, and she's the best casting of the year. I'm glad she's on this show. But yes, Monica's full of shit, too. And I feel like people forget that on the internet. Okay, so let me finish.
She's so, however, really sly, yeah.
Yeah. However, that does not take away from what I felt and thought happened at the time. It does, because you went on national TV and blamed your mom for doing all of this shit that she didn't do, Monica. So yeah, it does kind of take away from it.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So she says, yes, I know now. In that moment, I did not know anything. I was blindsided and I felt humiliated and embarrassed and crushed. However, I still have no idea what happened and why they backed out. There you go. Your name is cleared. Looking at our relationship, your behavior on Twitter alone, you can see how me thinking that you could have been involved was not out of the realm of possibilities. That's also true.
Sure.
Fair. That is fair on her part. So she says, okay. You could have gone to Twitter and confirmed we have family there since people aren't believing that, but this is important too. Anyways, I hope you can sleep better now since I've told the whole truth. So help me God, and I'll take all the help from God I can get right now. And then her mom writes, Monica, you called me at 6:05. You know I don't work till 7. You're making it sound like I avoided you, which I didn't. So these two are just...
Dysfunctional. They are... And I mean, let's not forget also that Monica's trying to like grift Beauty Lab and Laser currently. Okay. So we do have to take everything she says with a grain of salt. But you know what else I take with a grain of salt? A margarita, which means that there are a lot of delicious things that go with salt. And Monica.
Literally every good food has salt in it. So yeah. I'll take it, you know?
I'll take Monica.
But it just is a lesson, because I knew if I looked that up that we would find out something, because this just did not ring true last night.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? We're not even close to that part in the recap yet, but I just figured...
We're still thinking that there might be a nice scene between Monica and her long-lost relatives. So she's actually, in fact, in this scene right here, so she's called Lisa up, and she is basically... inviting Lisa to come join her to see her family for the first time in 30 years. And she's basically saying, look, I just want you to get like a more of an understanding of like who I am and where I come from, you know? And Lisa's like, yeah, seeing who you come from and like where your roots are, like that's like really, really cool. Is your cybersecurity team going to be there joining us? Okay, just wondering. Okay, thanks.
Well, it's also weird that she's butting up to Lisa. Like, of all the people, why Lisa? You've been fighting with Lisa the entire season, and now all of a sudden you need to buddy up with Lisa. Like, it's just presumably because she's going to use Lisa against Meredith, right? So now she's going to buddy up and be like, I really want you to meet my family. She's like, oh my God, she really likes me. What can I do to be her friend? So she's like, okay,
well, by the way, also I wanted to talk to you about something. Meredith called me and she talked to me about how she believes Angie is in the Greek mafia.
This fucking show. Okay, you've got Monica sitting up on this balcony in Bermuda in a salty AF t-shirt with a long flowy cape, a scepter, and a crown, being like,
Meredith said that Angie's in the Greek mafia.
Love this show.
I mean... this show is operating at such high levels right now. Like it's just, it's ridiculous that the pivot from long lost relatives to accusations about the Greek mafia is amazing. And then they cut, when she says that, we cut to a shot of Angie trying to get on a pool float alone in her Greek flag bikini. And she has like very bad balance or equilibrium on a pool float, because she's on this float. A very large, wide float, and she's fully on it, and she's like, whoa, and then the Chiron under it says, Angie, Greek mafia, ?
And it comes back to Lisa like, oh my God, are you like crazy? That is nuts. Like the actual mafia. And then we cut back to Angie just being like, trying to get on the stupid thing. We cut back to Monica and she's like,
well, we started talking about Angie and her financial situation. And all of a sudden, a week ago, I start getting DMs on Instagram about Angie and literal legal docs about her declaring bankruptcy, Sean declaring bankruptcy. I mean, they owe $170,000 to the IRS.
And Lisa's like, bullshit. You know what? I don't believe any of that. But this is Meredith's intentions. It's to damage Angie's friendships, relationships, everything. There's just a ripple effect. It's like if Ashton Kutcher stepped on a Diet Coke can in the forest, everything would change.
Everything would change. You know, it's ironic that you're having this conversation with you. Like, I'm having this conversation with you, and then there's, like, suddenly documents that, like, come and back it up. Like, this is what happened before with me. She did this last year in the same thing with my SAC filings.
And then a year ago, which we talked about last week, we invoked this last week, a year ago in San Diego, Meredith saying, like, well, guess what? I was sent a random DM. I had an SEC filing on it. It was sent by someone named Klux Flarks. I don't know who sent it, but it came to me.
So Lisa, and then the fight in the Sprinter van. Did you talk about me and my business? And Meredith's like, I have not talked about anything except embarrassing. And then we cut back. And Lisa's like, honestly, I think Meredith is setting you up. And Monica goes, setting me up? What do you mean? Which is why this is fucking fishy again. Fucking Monica. Okay, Monica, you set it up like this. You know what's so crazy? I was just talking about this to Meredith, and then I get all of these DMs. Isn't that crazy? Which leads Lisa to go, no, it's not crazy. She did that on purpose because she's setting you up. And Monica's like, what? You think she's setting me up? Monica, you honestly expect me to believe you're stupid, okay? I do not believe you're stupid. I think you're a very smart person. Of course, that's what she's leading with. I don't know, but
Monica's just... Monica is now trying to set up Lisa. Like they're just passing along the setup. She's like, Monica sees that she's being set up. So now she's like, let me pass this along to Lisa and get Lisa mad. Or I think she wants to have a justified reason to turn on Meredith in this moment. Or maybe she's feeling left alone or at sea because at the end of last episode, when Monica decided, okay, let's get the storyline going, Meredith was like, I don't know anything. I never saw anything like that. Which was actually, you know, you could interpret that as Meredith saying, oh, I want Monica to do my dirty work. I also interpret it as like, hey, we talked shit about Angie off camera, but you're not going to make me talk shit about her on camera, so don't even try it.
That's I interpreted it last week. Yeah, was that.
Right.
Where she's like, why are you talking about this on camera? What the hell?
Yeah. I think the instinct to say, why are you talking about this on camera is different than saying like, hey, go tell someone to talk about this, you know, or go talk about this for me.
Well, it could have been like, hey, why are you bringing it up on camera? But also, why are you bringing this up with me on camera? You're supposed to bring this up on your own without me, right? So it could have still been Meredith setting her up and just being shocked that she's still being dragged into it and that her fingerprints are now officially on it. You know, it could be that too. Because Meredith is just acting guilty as hell. I mean, any doubts I had last week are gone this week because she does act guilty as hell, you know. But they all act guilty as hell. I can't really tell because Monica's acting guilty as hell too. So, and what we've seen from Monica is that she takes things that the ladies say and she twists them and then regurgitates lies out of them. So she'll take like a grain of truth and then regurgitate it as a lie. So, girl, I don't know.
Yeah. So so now when Lisa's like, yeah, you're being set up to do the dirty work. And Monica's like, girl, if I'm being used as like a pawn to get the information out, like that's like really fucked up, girl. And I'm going to be like really sad. I'm like disappointed. Then I'm like once again being used as like someone's scapegoat for some bullshit rumors. By the way, this whole thing, and Whitney does this too, like I can't believe I'm being used again as someone's scapegoat. What does that say about you? This, you gotta like get your shit together. Okay, well, if people keep coming to you because they know they can manipulate you, it's time to start getting some instincts around people.
But it's not, they say being used, but it's not even being used. You're repeating mindless gossip. Like you're just as bad as the other people. Like they make it sound like, oh my God, the other people are evil gossipers. But when I do it, I'm just like this innocent, sweet little lamb. And also Whitney's whole storyline last year was the Jizz for Jazz thing, which she was trying to use against Lisa, which she twisted from something that Angie made a joke about. Angie Harrington made a joke about last year.
Right.
And then they were getting all this SEC stuff about Lisa. Well, guess who Lisa's enemy was last year? It was Angie Harrington. So I'm wondering if Angie Harrington has anything to do with all of this new stuff coming for the other Angie, because other Angie is the Angie that they kept out of all that mess last year.
That would be funny. I mean, ultimately, the reason why people
I'm so
like
sorry Morgan to interrupt Whitney, you, but just before I forget to say it, also last year we found out that the big deal with Angie Harrington and her husband is that they did have fake accounts that they were coming out after. They were coming after everybody
I forgot
with,
about
and
that.
Her husband had to apologize on national TV for that shit. And wasn't it against Lisa? It was against Lisa, right? And they apologized Meredith.
It was against Lisa, but his name, his name was like Shawfan or something like that. He got himself into such a mess. But ultimately, Whitney and Monica, the reason why people so reliably go to them to help spread rumors is because all they do is prattle on. All they do is gossip, and they talk. I mean, everyone gossips, but they really like they just let it all fly out. So it's like why am I being used again? It's because you don't shut up.
you're
always talking about other people's shit.
But also they phrase it in this way like they're these innocent little lambs and I can't believe I'm being used. But so coincidentally, it's also stuff against your enemies. You know what I mean? They're both coming for their enemies. And then they're acting like, what? I can't believe I was tricked into like trying to embarrass my enemy on national TV. Here I'm going to blame this other person for it. And I mean, they're ridiculous. So Monica's like, yeah, if I'm being used as a pawn, it's fucked up. So Monica's also very smart, and it's possible that she did all this stuff with Meredith to pin it on Meredith. You know what I mean? Because who at the time really even knew Monica was on the show? Like, why would people be DMing Monica with this information? It's now either it's obviously it's Meredith, I think is still a very good. It's obviously still a very good, the obvious choice.
But I like it,
right?
But I like it. I like an alternate conspiracy theory where I like the idea that Monica.
It's Lisa Rimmel.
Has created a well, here's the thing. If Monica blocks this other person, like the thing with Instagram is if you block people, it's Lisa Rinna. That's what you just said. If Monica blocks other people, if you block someone on Instagram, a lot of times it'll say block this person and other accounts they've created. So if she had blocked this this random DMer and then she finds out that she's no longer connected to Meredith, then she might get an answer, right?
That's true. But who knows? I mean, does it?
I'm not sure if that works.
Girl, I don't know.
I don't have a cybersecurity team like Lisa Barlow, but I do like the idea that Monica sent the DM to herself to set up Meredith, to make Meredith look like she was sending it. But ultimately, I just don't know if Monica operates on that level. But it's great. Maybe it's
Meredith Cosby. Well, I think that she watches the show, obviously, right? She's like a Housewives fan. So she obviously watched the show. And from watching the show, you know that Meredith was accused all of this from last year. So if you really want to get Meredith, just do something that everybody's going to totally believe, which is this. It's the Instagram. It's like... Because the alternate is like, is Meredith really this dumb to do this twice? I mean, she just got called out. The whole reunion was about Meredith doing this last year. She totally got busted. Is she really dumb enough to come back and do it again?
Is there a very, very obvious answer that we are just not paying attention to? Who was the person that Angie got into the biggest fight with last season? Who is the person who poured champagne on Angie's head? Who is the person who has nothing but time on her hands to look up information like this? Miss Jen Shah. Jen Shah is the one who would have the biggest axe to grind against Angie. Bigger than Meredith, in fact. In fact, Meredith's axe to grind against Angie still doesn't fully make sense. It's just like something that she decided to enter the season with. But Jen would have real resentment that she brings this lady on. This lady accuses her of not paying for her party. And then this Angie gets to be a cast member while Jen rots in a cell somewhere in America.
Now Monica is a mini
Jen Shaw.
Monica is like a more palatable Jen. You know what I mean? So who knows? So I don't know that we're ever going to find out, but I love talking about it. I'll be talking about this probably on my deathbed.
This is a fun one.
I'll be like, who did it? Who sent the DMs? All that
DMs
said,
of like very accessible public records.
Yeah, very accessible. And also small potatoes records, like bankruptcy. Ooh, like who hasn't? You're all poor. Like, who are we kidding?
You're Bravo.
You're all faking it. You're all, if you're an American, chances are you're $1 zillion in debt because everything we own is based on debt. No one has the cash to go buy a house, okay? Maybe Kenya Moore. I mean, who else do you know Have you ever seen this? Just like, I'm buying this house in cash. It's very rare. I mean, you have to be super, super rich, but just the way everything is set up, we're all built of debt. You know what I mean? So it cracks me up when they start this, like, oh my God, they're in debt.
I know. That's the funny thing there. So Monica is really mad that she is receiving these DMs. And now she really believes it's Meredith. Lisa is telling her Meredith is setting her up. It's looking pretty. It's a strong case. I do think the Jen Shaw case has some merit. I do think that I enjoy the Angie Harrington conspiracy. I enjoy the Monica doing it herself. There's probably a Linda conspiracy to be found. There are a lot of suspects. I think they're all great. It's great suspect. Great like conspiracy.
I don't think Linda
going on all around. Linda would just send headshots.
Linda doesn't care about
she's
Angie.
Like, yeah. I have some important information, Monica, that I want you to read about Angie. Mom, it's just your headshot. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Linda would be sending information about Monica to bring Monica down. I doubt that she would even care about anybody else.
Yeah. So now it's a little bit later, and it's time to go jet skiing. So they're all going to go jet skiing. And there's a lot of bitches. Come on, bitches. We're going to go jet skiing. Yeah. Yes,
they get in the Sprinter.
Yes, bitches. So they get into the Sprinter and Angie's like, hey, you guys, do you know what we should do? It's make up Mormon raps. Hey, Heather, remember when we were in school, how we would make up the Mormon raps? I mean, how did we just let this one go? Where are the Mormon raps? Yeah. Heather's like, no, my parents didn't let me listen to secular music. Where are the Mormon raps? God damn it.
Yeah, and the scene just ends. I was like, excuse me, were the producers so traumatized from Lisa Barlow's rap at the Bad Mormon party that they were like, we just can't go back to this well. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, something. Like, is it really hard to rhyme something with John Smith? I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean... Yeah. Rolling through your hood with a Smith and Wesson, trying to avoid John Smith and confessing. There, boom, did
it. Go Mormons, it's your mission. Gonna party like it's your mission. It's not even your mission. You can find me in Columbia, Bible full of words. Well, I'm running out of steam.
Okay, that's done.
I can only do a Mormon 50 Cent for so long.
They start talking about the color yellow, and Heather's like, oh my God, that's Ashley's favorite color. And Lisa's like, oh my God, that's my favorite color. Let me talk about yellow being my favorite color. And Heather's like, no, we're talking about Ashley right now, because Ashley's like in the best stage of her life. She's like young, she's blonde, she's on a beach, she's driving a Mercedes, she's in a sorority, her mom puts money in her account. I was like, are you trying to get your daughter beat up? Because... I want to put nails in her tires. Okay. Don't describe your daughter like that on national TV. Oh my God. Hot, blonde, rich girl who doesn't have anything and drives a Mercedes and she's on the beach. Like, steal her car. At least take the hubcaps.
Ronnie wants to take her down a peg. So Monica's like, has she had sex? And Heather's like, I'm not going to talk about my daughter's sex life. And... you know, Heather tells us that she doesn't shy away about having conversations about certain things, but she finds it just, you know, some things are disrespectful and some things are sacred. And her daughter's sex life is one of those sacred things that she's not going to talk about on TV. And Monica's like, well, I don't think it's a big deal. And she's like, well, want me to ask her how her sex is? And she's like, yeah, Kris Jenner does it all the time.
There's who you want to emulate. I mean, it's hard to say, like, who wants to emulate the Jenners, because they're like worth $97 trillion or whatever. But I don't know. Do you? Other than that part, does anybody want to emulate them? I don't know, because it's hard for me to watch that show. I haven't watched it since back in the beginning. But every clip I see of it, my head tilts, like, you know, like when a dog hears a funny noise and their head tilts. That's what mine does every time that show comes on. I'm like, huh? Or I see a clip of it.
Hey, yeah, Scott. Yeah, you know what I really don't appreciate? Like, you really don't appreciate, like, how you treat me, Kim. And then Kim's like, well, you know what? I, like, really don't appreciate how you treat me either. Because, like, I, like, made things possible in this family. Yeah, but, like, for you to, like, say that I don't make things possible in this family, like, that is, like, so offensive, Kim.
You're offensive.
Oh, my God. Did you just humor me?
Yeah, I've not seen it in ages. I hear it's better now that it's on Hulu. I really struggle with reality shows that are on the E! Network. I feel like they're made by interns. I'm like, what is happening here?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Angie, she's like, I have known Heather since she was 15, and Heather has a very strong LD, is a very strong LDS girl, and here we are on the topic of sex and is making her uncomfortable. It's hard to deprogram ourselves after we are taught certain things our whole lives. Literally, when you are an actual robot, it is very difficult to deprogram yourself. You are literally killing yourself, Greek robot.
I mean, it really is hard to deprogram yourself from religious training or really anything that happens when you're a child. Just getting it, you know, like childhood trauma and stuff like that. When I was a little boy, you know, because I'm half Lebanese, so the Lebanese side of my family, for birthdays, it would just be these huge things with tons of people there and all your cousins and all your aunties and all this stuff, and everybody's dancing around. And God, I don't even remember what birthday, fifth birthday, they brought out a belly dancer at a child's birthday party. Yes, we did. Okay, judge away, fuckers. But they brought out a belly dancer whose name was Rosie. I'm still terrified. When belly dancers come out, there's still part of me that, like, my butthole clenches and I start sweating. Like, every really? Single time. I was terrified.
Belly dancer?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, I mean, I remember being, like, child. Six. Really? I remember being, like, six or whatever and going to Epcot Center, and they've got, like, a Moroccan restaurant, and there were belly dancers there. And,
were you traumatized?
I was not. Okay, I was entranced. I became...
watering down my trauma. All right, so my just trauma. Saying. I'm very I'm upset about saying. It. And you're like, well, I saw a fucking belly dancer, and guess what? I wasn't traumatized. Me.
I wasn't traumatized.
Oh. Good babe.
I just devalued. Well, I was trying to deprogram you, Ronnie. I'm trying to deprogram.
More, okay, I'm more stressed out now. Fucking. And by the way, no offense, belly dancers. I don't want someone's out there like chinging right now. They're like ding, 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 like dancing around practicing. And they're like, these fuckers, I came to this podcast for a place of peace, and they just dissed my entire industry. Listen, this is nothing against the belly dancing industry. Okay. But as a child, don't get your finger symbols too close to a child's face. You can't do that. And then bazooms like that. I've never seen like boobies like that right up in my face. I mean, she was having me motorboat her like while she was dinging the finger things like right in my ear. I was fucking horrified. I still can remember it.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, there is a big difference between being 5 and 6, and you know, maybe that's the breaking point between belly dancer trauma. You know, maybe I passed the threshold. I escaped. I aged up enough to appreciate the fine art of the feminine form.
Well, that's the thing. Wow. I feel like whenever I have a trauma, you're like, that's not traumatic. But, well, you don't say that, but it's not traumatic to you. But I will say one thing that I kind of got karma on this week with you about that is you're that's very fun. Traumatized by scooters on the street. I love them. I think they're great. You don't like the little scooters, and you got your ass run over literally 10 minutes after talking about it here on the show.
On Potomac, I was actually reveling in the fact that a motorcyclist and someone on a bird scooter crashed into each other. And I was like, I just missed it. I pulled up just as they were picking themselves up. And I was so mad because I wanted to have seen it. So I was like, those scooters shouldn't. I was like, those scooters shouldn't be in the road. They should never be in the road. They should be on the sidewalk. So yesterday, I walk out of a building. I literally walk out of a building, and a woman on a scooter crashes into me, crashes right into my shoulder. Because I was like
trash.
And she was so sweet. This poor girl, she probably was like 21. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'm okay. I'm like, are you okay? She goes, no, are you okay? That was 100% my fault. I mean, to be fair, I came powering out of that door. I didn't know you had to look left and right for moving vehicles when you walk out the door, but I did just say put those scooters on the sidewalk. So I got my karma. I got my full karma. Literally run over by a scooter on a sidewalk. And there's
what's really ironic about it is hilarious. We found out that girl was a belly dancer. So who's like,
I'm on the way to a 5-year-old's party. Tell gotta me go.
Not, tell me you're not traumatized by belly dancers. You see, karma's on my side.
She crashed right into me. Crashed right into my arm. And the thing that was crazy is there was like construction on the building. So on the sidewalk, you know, the sidewalk had like that like cover with like the scaffolding, you know. So it was more narrow than normal. So I feel like if you're on a bird scooter, I still would prefer you on the sidewalk than on the street. But if you're going to go onto a sidewalk that has the scaffolding, maybe like go really slowly. Maybe don't go like speeding down and crash into people who are walking out of doctor's offices.
Oh my God. She said she's sorry. Like, what more do you want? This poor girl.
No, it was fine. She looked traumatized.
She looked sufficiently traumatized to earn forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. But listen, I helped her pick up her little hand symbols and, you know.
Listen, once I got her, you know, coin chain belt back on her, she was on her way. She was
her midriff was right unscathed.
Back down the street.
And I just saw her off to the bouncy castle.
Okay, so here we are back in the Sprinter van. Monica is, you know, basically like, has your daughter's sex life? And Heather is over horrified. I do think she is a little bit overly horrified. I mean, yeah, is it inappropriate to ask your kids to ask about your kids' sex life? Sure. But she's of age and you are talking about, I mean, who cares? Really, I guess is my point. So Monica tells us kind of a question I've had, which is, are you a bad Mormon or not? Because a bad Mormon would talk about sex. But it's not like vile Mormon. It's just like slightly rebellious Mormon, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I drink caffeine.
I was on Heather's side for this, actually, not about, like, I don't think it's, like, a parent is obligated to talk to their child about sex. They can. I don't care if they do or not. But what I felt Monica was chastising her about was that Heather did not want to talk to Monica about her daughter's sex life. Like, what, why on earth would Heather air her daughter's sex life on national TV, especially to someone like Monica? Who, like, that's, like, very privileged information, what your daughter's sex life is. And also, it's, like, that is her daughter's sex life. And, like, I just don't think that's cool to do that. Like, her daughter's young, and to just air out, like, who her daughter's boning in Santa Barbara to Monica, of all people, on a Sprinter van where the space where things go the most left on the show.
I'm not saying she should. No, I'm just saying getting I'm offended saying over saying. Weird. Right. I would just be
I'm
like,
not saying you're saying.
I would have her initial response, which is like, no, I'm not talking about my fucking daughter. But it seems to bother her as the episode goes on more than I guess I would be bothered. I think Monica was just trying to be like, oh, my God, we're wacky. We're on a girls trip. Let's talk about fucking. Because I think that's also just a housewives. You know, we're seeing it a lot on Potomac right now. When there's a dead moment, people are like, oh, my God. Let's talk about sex, you know. And actually, I think it happens in friendships too, like normal life, where you're like, well, I have nothing to talk about. Stuck my penis through a wall the other day and have no idea who sucked it, but it was great. Have you ever done that? And then you start having that disgusting conversation. Yeah. I forgot what we were talking about. Okay. So anyway, she starts having that kind of, Heather gets a little overly offended. But then, in my opinion, but then we go to the dock to do some jet skiing.
Yeah, so it's jet skiing.
I did not put my penis through a wall the other day. I don't even know why I'm talking like this. Like, I'm just making things up that make me sound disgusting, and I didn't even do that.
I was like, you know what? Let me be crazy. Let me stick a penis in this wall right now. And just as I was taking it out, I got run over by a bird scooter. It was so awkward.
I stuck my penis through in a wall, and it actually has little tiny tire tracks on it now from fucking birds.
Thank you. That really does speak to my
goddamn scooter down in the glory holes.
So jet skiing is jet skiing. They're jet skiing. So then eventually, while they're jet skiing, they get to a one place, and this guy Harry, who's like their leader, is like, all right, everyone, I'm gonna give you all a piece of bread, and you're going to feed it to the fish, or as I call them, Bermudian pigeons. So they feed fish bread, and the fish all come a flocking because these fish love the bread. And you know, the fish are going. It's to see carbs on these shows is always a moment for reflection.
Even for the fish to eat them, I'm like, oh my God, you're on TV. Like, I'm so embarrassed.
I was like, I can't believe what I'm seeing here. There's bread. bread.
But it would have been very Housewives fish if they pulled the bread out of the water and it wasn't really eaten. The fish are just like jumping all over themselves to like look like they're eating it. Like, oh my God, look at me. Oh my God, I love bread. I love it.
No one fish comes up with a little fedora. One fish comes up with a little fedora. It's like, you didn't even eat that. You just push it around your plate.
Are you accusing me? Name them. Accusing me of having an eating disorder, fish.
There's one fish who's watching the feeding frenzy and is just like very offended and is like, I am on ABT and just swims away.
I was trying to eat that bread, but my esophagus is tiny. I've got the esophagus the size of a fish.
Like, but you are a fish.
That's besides the point. Dare you do this to me, cowfish?
You don't understand. I've given up bread, okay? I can't afford to be depressed by bread right now.
So Monica's like, oh my God, this is like the best day. Like, finally, I have companions who eat as much as I do. I've seen these fish eat more in 5 minutes than I have these women eat the whole time that I've known them.
So now they get back to the Sprinter van. Had a great time jet skiing. It's time for the next activity. And Lisa's like, anyone want a honey stick? Honey stick? Anyone? And, you know, and Lisa's sort of talking about how she had a Kit Kat this morning. And it's just the normal idle banter. And Monica gets a text. And then she starts to cry. And then she leaves the bus. And she just goes sobbing into the bathroom. And Lisa goes after her. She's like, and Meredith's like, what just happened here? Did she receive more documents about other people on this in this Sprinter van right now? Because I certainly did, but I'm not going to talk about that.
So then she's in the restroom, like kind of squealing, you know, and then Lisa comes in. She's like, oh my God, Monica. Why, Monica? Why? Monica, oh my God, you're crying. I'm crying too, Monica.
Like, my mom.
Yeah,
go ahead, Ben.
My mom just made my family not meet me.
It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Why would your mom do that? And then in the Sprinter van, Meredith's like, I was just talking to Lisa, and then she just shot out of the car, and I saw Monica. I don't think she's crying. Is she crying? Meredith, why are you acting like you're in a town square and you saw this from far away? It literally happened less than a foot from you. What are you having trouble keeping up with here?
She sounds like she is telling the villagers about Ichabod Crane. Well, last I saw, he went out into the woods, and then they say there was a headless horseman. I don't know. It's very terrifying, but I did get a DM about it, and I don't know. Did you guys get any DMs about a headless horseman? Because there's some filings that he's bankrupt.
Ding! I just got a DM about a headless horse. This is crazy. Oh my God, stop crying about the headless horse. It'll be okay. It's run by a ghost.
it's run by a ghost.
I don't know. Okay, so back to the bathroom.
By the way, that's the least reassuring thing. I love that. Don't worry. That horse is being run by a ghost. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. It's like one point in life where being headless as a horse is okay. By the way, Angie probably sucked that. Probably stuck that ghost horse head in someone's bed if the rumors about her are true, which I've barely even heard.
I would like to just say that the horse has a head. It's the horseman who does not have a head. And the rumors and the nastiness about this ghost horseman have to stop.
So back in the bathroom, Lisa's like, what would she do this to you? And Monica's like, oh my God, I feel like I can't breathe. So she tells us, you know, just a couple of hours ago, she was getting ready to see her family. And now she gets a text saying they don't want to see me. And I can't think but hope my mom is somehow involved because I know she wanted to be here and now she's not here. And she's so excited to go through stories and talk through, you know, she loves a picture book. So she wanted to do this. You know, she wanted to see like the first Starbucks that her great grandparents built in Bermuda because they built all the buildings and businesses here. So this sounds fishy to me because they texted you, no, you can't come. Who sent her the text?
Right.
I guess production, I mean, at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what the story is. I mean, I believed it at first, but I did think it was strange. Well, what was strange to me is she says, in this moment here in the bathroom, she says, my mom basically was like made my family not see me. That's what she says. My mom made my family not see me. And then she starts talking about how this whole thing. And I was in the back of my mind, I was like, wow, that is crazy. Linda is depraved. But then part of me was like, maybe they got freaked out by the fact that like, it's reality TV. And then I imagine that there was producers going through there, et cetera, et cetera.
Cameras. It's all the cameras.
Cameras. They probably had to put up lights and everything. And I don't know. So then Lisa, but I'm still believing that Linda did this. So they come out of the bathroom and Lisa's like, okay, take a breath, deep breath. Do it 5 times. By the way, did you see my ring in that bathroom? I seem to be missing something. Anyway, I can't believe that Monica's mom would meddle on something this important to Monica on her birthday. And it feels like this has to be like the worst feeling ever. It's like losing your ring 3 times over while your son is going off on a mission. I just feel so bad for her.
Ah! So they go back to the Sprinter van and everyone's like, are you okay? What happened? And she's like, oh my God, I think I left my shoe out there. And Heather goes, your shoe? You left a shoe. It's like, wow, Heather's really ready to just go off about something. So then she's like, oh my God, you guys, I'm like shoeless. My mother took my shoe. So she's sobbing. And then Lisa's like, can I tell that, Monica? I want to tell them. She go ahead. So she goes, we think our family was called by our mom and they canceled. And they're like, what? They canceled? And you don't have a shoe? So they're all really nice. They're like, oh my God, Monica, I'm so sorry. And they're all, you know, kind of hugging mm-hmm. Monica while she cries, which is sweet. And she's like squealing, like, I don't even have a family. I don't have a family. You have 4 daughters. Shh. Don't say that.
Right.
Don't say that. They can't see this show.
And she's just like, I mean, I feel like I already like don't know so much about myself, and I feel like not wanted anymore, and I'm like not wanted by my in-laws, like my own family. It's just like the shittiest feeling, and like to know that my mother did this, like it's so gross. Like I just feel gross. Also, I'm barefoot, and this is like I don't want to be barefoot right now. I was, by the way, when she said I'm missed my shoes are out there, and they're like, okay, don't worry, we'll get the shoes. But then the next shot, we see that the van is moving. I honestly was like, did they get those shoes? Because I needed to see them get the shoes. Why is this the area where Bravo decided not to have continuity? They're usually really good about showing someone bringing the shoes in.
Yeah, like suddenly we don't need an ending. Hello, you cannot put a plot out there and just not finish it.
Don't. Yeah, that was totally an unresolved storyline, the shoes.
Okay, so I have questions. So she's coming to meet her family in Bermuda, but she's never talked to them and she's never texted them, and she didn't get the number from her mother, even though her mother's completely unreliable. I just have a lot of questions about this. I don't understand how this is all working.
And
I guess production was like, we'll keep it a surprise. You don't need to talk to her because I'm answering my own questions. Because we want it to be a surprise because it's a TV show, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. But I did notice that when Monica was talking about this, she goes from my mom made my family not speak to me to then all of a sudden, like, we were going to be doing it. And then all of a sudden they weren't going to be doing it. And I have to imagine my mom had something to do with it. So initially I thought that like there was hard evidence that Linda was behind this. And now then it suddenly changed. So I remember I was like, that's a little weird. Like, that's very presumptuous, but Linda is a monster, so it's not out of the realm of possibilities. So lots of question marks about this whole thing. But you know what, Ronnie? Why don't we take a break right now in this recap, okay? And this will be the end of part one of our Salt Lake City recap. Well, here.
Okay.
Okay? And we're going to come back for part two, because guess what? Part two just goes nuts. So thanks everyone for listening, and you can catch us on the next episode in your feed very shortly. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Stroll in the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Cotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.